Okay, Parshas Vayetze begins, of course, with the process of Yaakov Avinu leaving. The pasuk says, Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheba. Vayelech Haran, that Yaakov Avinu left Beersheba and went to Haran. And the commentaries debate why the Torah has to focus on both where Yaakov left from and where Yaakov Avinu was going. That is, because people leave somewhere, sometimes to get away from something, and sometimes they leave somewhere in order to get someplace else. So you have to figure out which way is which. In Yaakov Avinu's case, he was doing both. He was leaving his parents' home to get away from Esav, but also in order, you know, to go to Haran to find a wife. He had two different missions from two different parents. The Stifler Zatzal adds that the same was true in the olden days. And the fact of the matter is, in the olden days, when even one who left the yeshiva to go to work was able to remain committed to Torah values, still, notes the Stipler, a person needs to begin his life in yeshiva in order to learn how to remain Torah true. But today, one needs to go to get a yeshiva education because even if he won't be a successful lamdan, he needs to use it as a deterrent from the streets. Torah education today is both a Vayetze Yaakov and a Vayelech Harana. Torah education, both for men and, by the way, for young women, for baby, for girls, is partially Vayetze Yaakov, partially Vayelech Harana. So Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep, and he dreams, Vayachalom b'nei sulam mutzav arza, and behold, there was a ladder with its feet on the ground, v'rosho magia ha-shamayma. The great Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Sabato Shalita, explains that this dream was a message based on Yaakov's thoughts. In general, Chazal tell us that a person only dreams based on his own machshavos. So the fact of the matter is, says Rav Sabato, it was a reference to man's role in the world. We live to climb the ladder one step at a time. If we take it each step at a time, there's no limit to how high we can go, assuming we want to go. But at the same time, Hashem's influence meets us going downward until they get us into the ground at the darkest of moments, and then they too rise up. So the fact of the matter is, says Rav Sabato, that's exactly what this dual lesson of the dreams of Malachim Olim V'Yardim. We need to move up, Olim, and at the same time, the Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yardim. They didn't move in opposition, they moved together. And thus Yaakov was the Bechir Sheba Avos, the one who prepared us to handle the Galus, teaches us that even in the darkest of times when we feel like we're falling deeply, we need to keep climbing, and the challenges will rise with us, and we will defeat them, and we will continue to function and grow. Yaakov Avinu winds up going to Padan Aram, and he gets there to Haran, and he finds that there's a. He goes to the Be'er, and there was a big stone on the Be'er, right? Even Gedolah Pia Be'er, the pasuk tells us. And Shalom Yosef Zevin Zatzal sees a critical mission to the Jews in this lesson of the well. Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The well, according to Rav Zevin, represents holiness and purity, and anything positive in the world finds itself at its source, the well, and then, of course, the water. But, says Rav Zevin, there are many forces that try to find the purity, to uncover it, and sometimes to pollute it. But a world without purity and holiness is in of itself a dry and uncomfortable place. And Yaakov Avinu teaches his children that no matter the cover, he and his children will always be able to push off the toughest of stones that keep us from the holiness and the source of purity for us. All we have to do is to be Golulu Esa'evin. We have to reveal the water by pushing off the stones. We have that ability. We don't need others to do it for us. We have to make it our ability, and we have to go ahead and work for it. So Yaakov Avinu marries Leah, and then later he marries Rachel. And of course, Leah winds up being the Snua, and Hashem opens up her womb, and she begins to have children. And so, one of the things that happens in the parsha, because tefillah is a very fundamental component of the parsha, Yaakov davens, and Leah davens, and Rachel turns to Yaakov later in the parsha to daven, but Leah is the one who gets credit, hapamo des Hashem. When she names Yehuda, she says, this time I'll thank Hashem, and the Gemara praises Leah as the first one who thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is she so praised for this? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter always used to tell us that when we don't have everything we need, we need to ask Hashem for everything. This is, of course, said Rav Shechter, the exact opposite from the Nachash HaKadmoni, for whom part of the curse was Afar Tochal Kol Yomei Chayecha, that he's going to eat dust his entire life, and he's not going to appreciate the chance to thank Hashem for it. The unique part of what Leah did, as opposed to everyone who lived before her, who were all children of Adam HaRishon, who didn't sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was that she did receive more than her share, and she still offered appropriate thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was able to realize that I got extra, and HaPamo Des Hashem, I'm aware of it, and I realize that it's there for me to go ahead and do something more with it. Not to be outdone, Rachel Imenu also starts to name children. First, the children that Bilhah has, and she names the first one, Danani Hashem, Vigam Nasan Li Ben. That Hashem judged me and also gave me a child. In what way was there a judgment factor here? She calls the child Dun, the child forevermore, as one of the Shvatim becomes Shevet Dun. Where is the judgment? So the late great author of the Nachlas David, who also wrote a commentary on Chumash known as Nefesh David, Reb David Al Tevel Zatzal, he explains that Rachel Imenu took solace because, as the Medrash, she knew that Mashiach ben David would come from Yehuda, but she took solace in knowing that she had helped birth those who were destined to help Yehuda to help Mashiach. Says Reb David Al Tevel, whenever the leadership of Yehuda is called upon to bring people to spiritual heights, the one who comes forward is always Dun. Dun always stands as on the side to be as his assistant to make that possibility into something that happens. Think about it. The Mishkan gets built by Bezalel and Ahaliyav. Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lamate Yehuda, but Veito Ahaliyav ben Achisamach lamate Dun. The Mikdash, Shlomo HaMelech built the Mikdash from Shevet Yehuda, but Hiram comes through. Each time, it's the two Shvatim working together. Sometimes people are always concerned, but I didn't lead. A person doesn't need to always be the leader. A person always needs to make sure that things get led and get done correctly. Pardon the pun, done gets it done. My dear friend, late friend, Dan Siegel used to say, his name is Dunn, because that's what he wanted his job to be. Getting the job done. That's part of the judgment. That's part of the job. Towards the end of his sojourn in Haran, Yaakov Avinu summons Rachel and Leah to the field. There's a wonderful teacher, Elimelech Biderman Shalita, who quotes the Shalah HaKadosh, who explains that there are two ways to convince people to follow a path. One can either coerce, or one can choose to persuade. When one coerces, he or she is not maximizing the power of the argument. This is the way it is, therefore that's what we're going to do. That's especially true in the world of chinuch and in the world of shalom bayis. If we turn around and demand, right, we're not going to get very far. So wherever it's possible, persuasion, says Reb Melech, right, is better than coercion. Where there's coercion, there's always friction, and the atmosphere is always going to be unpleasant. And even if one is able to achieve compliance, the hard feeling is still going to be there. And so therefore, suggests or Melech, one needs to learn the art of persuasion in life. So Yaakov Avinu leaves with his family. And Laban catches him. And when Laban catches him, he says, Lama nechbesa levroach, why did you hide to run away? And one needs to stop and ask that question as well. What a great question Laban asks. Yaakov Avinu was a tremendously strong man. After all, he was able to defeat a malach. He was able to do that which took all the roei tzon, to roll the stone off the be'er. His children, as we know, were also quite strong. So why then does he run away from Lavan? What was he afraid of? What was he trying to achieve? Rabbi Yashu Zatzal explains that Yaakov Avinu was not afraid of Lavan per se. However, he didn't want to have to confront Lavan, for he knew that if he did, Hashem would strike Lavan down, and it would look like Yaakov Avinu was a kafwe tof, an ingrate, for destroying the man who gave him everything. So being fearful of Chilal Hashem, Yaakov preferred to leave quietly and leave everything up to Lavan to handle. finally in the Haftorah, we read that Vayivrach Yaakov stay Aram. The Nabi Hosea points out that Yaakov Avinu ran away to Aram, which makes it obvious as to why it's chosen as a Haftorah for this week's Sedra. But what does the Navi want the people to know about Yaakov Avinu's flight? So Rashi and the Radak both comment that the message was part of Hashem's promise that he wasn't going to leave them no matter where they went. But the Malbim disagrees. He says that Hosea is criticizing the people for their primary averos of deceit and idolatry, in noting that Yaakov gets engaged in deceit, and that Yaakov has to use deceit as a tactic. Yaakov Avinu also gets met with deceit. And the same would be true for his children if they don't change their ways. And that's what the Navi Hosea is pointing out. My dear friend and teacher of Gideon Weitzman from the Machon Puah in Yerushalayim, Shalita, explains that Yaakov became influenced by appearance. And hence he remained for the additional 6 years. And hence he changed from working to guarding. Avod Sham Yisrael Be'isha, that he worked for a woman, Be'isha Shamar, and he guards. And why did that happen? It happened because of complacency. We are called to action as Jews and not to descend into the path of Avodah Zarah passivity. It's our job to realize that we can't be complacent in Avodah Hashem. We can't wait for somebody to do it for us in Avodah Hashem. Avodah Hashem is something that comes to each and every one of us and says to us, what are you doing today? Where is your activity today? If we make it our business to be active Jews, then we will continue to go hala v'hala, mala v'mala, and not be led on the path of sin. Shabbat shalom to all.